excuse me. Good evening. I want to call this meeting to order and explain to you what the process is that I would like to move forward with for this first voting meeting. Number one, we have we're all here, or we have 12 out of
14.
So that's a good number. We also, if we are going to move anything to the final budget or the tentative budget, we need a majority of the people in the room that vote on it. So it has to be 7 votes out of the 12 to move it to the tentative budget. I would like you to raise hands on votes, and please wait till we count between Kathy and me. I think we can figure that out, but please wait so that we don't have inaccurate counts. A couple things I wanted to mention. Way back in May, we started out with a meeting at TCAT, and we asked the county administrator to build a budget with a 2.36 tax levy, at which at that time was the best knowledge we have for the tax cap that we were dealing with. The budget came to us with a 2.34 levy increase, and we have been listening for 6 meetings to department heads and their wishes and wants, and we are at the point where we now have to make some determinations on where we're going to go with this budget. And I know that I'm going to remind you of something that you all already know. Every dime we put in this budget from a 2.36 or a 2.34 is an increase in property taxes, an increase in the levy. So we've all, you know, we get into a point where we talk about the levy and you kind of make yourself feel like, oh, that's not really an increase, but it is. So as we move forward, we have to keep that in mind. If we increase the levy, that's an increase to the people who are buying all these things for us in Tompkins County. At this point, I want to let Joe talk a little bit about his part of this and some information he has that I think will be pertinent to what we're going to do this evening. So County Administrator Joe Mariano.
Thanks, Jim. The graphic that's on the screen is the way we're going to keep track of changes this year. It's similar to what we've done in the past in that you can watch and see the impact of decisions on things like the levy, the rate, the impact on a median valued home, and so forth. So we can keep track of it really as we go along here. So hopefully this is a good tool for the decisions that will come tonight and maybe over the next couple of nights as well. Jim did say that when we set up this budget originally, it was with a 2.36% target. We came in a little bit less than that. The 2.36 was set for a reason. That was our best estimate of the tax cap at that time. And the hope was we could bring in a budget that satisfied all the goals that we were trying to achieve, and we've all talked about that, and still stay within the tax cap. Again, at that time, it was 2.36%. As we were developing this budget, there was an adjustment. Our estimates got a little better of the tax cap, and it's if you read that wonderfully eloquent budget message that's in the front of the book, even then we were talking about the adjusted tax cap was 2.65%. So if we're looking and kind of mentally keeping track of where we are relative to that, it was 2.65%. And while I'm neither advocating nor discouraging any movements in this budget, it's all yours at this point. If it were adjusted up to the 2.65%, I think that's another $138,000 that could be supported and still stay within that baseline cap. Now, over the last couple of weeks, I think I've been kind of signaling that we've been looking at the cap to make sure that that's the accurate and final number. The reason we've taken a little time to do it, we have an anomaly that's going on with the cap that I'm going to try to explain in summary detail, but if you want to get into the weeds, we can do it either tonight or later. But if you recall, a couple of years ago when the cap was being developed, we warned the state about the inclusion of the sales tax credit that goes to some towns, and it became a factor in the tax cap formula. And it's, if you recall, there are five towns that have chosen to take their share of the sales tax as a credit against our taxes instead of taking their sales tax in cash. And when that happens, we establish at the front end of the budget cycle what their credit's going to be for the upcoming year. We basically project it, as we project all sales taxes. Now, when a town or a village takes their sales tax in cash, it self-regulates. So as we're getting money in, they're getting their share of that payment every month. But since the credit is established only once a year, you have to either take money from them or give money to them once a year. There's a reconciliation adjustment that has to occur every year. And what we found is that based on current estimates of sales tax, there is a relatively large reconciliation that we'll have to do for the towns in the 2015 budget. We owe them money in 2015. It's about $200,000. That's the adjustment factor for their piece of the sales tax. And because that adjustment is factored into the tax cap, it has the effect of, I will call it, artificially increasing our cap in 2015, but almost dollar for dollar, in fact, maybe exactly dollar for dollar, what goes up in 2015 goes down in 2016. Peter Stein used the word the other day, the sine curve. It's a sine curve. So the one-time adjustment that occurs in 2015 is about a half a point on our cap. So our cap would go under that from 265 up to about 3.14%. It's about a half a point swing up. However, when you run the numbers then and bring it into 2016, we have an artificial drop of a half a point in the 2016 cap. So what helps us this year hurts us next year. So as we look at this, I think the most prudent course is to recognize the arithmetic and what happens because of this anomaly in the sales tax credit. And anything that we don't spend this year that's under the cap, that 3.14% cap, we can carry forward into 2016. So we can use that excess in 2015. Again, if we don't spend up to that 3% cap, we can take that excess and we can offset that artificial decline that will occur in 2016. It will level us out. So again, this budget is yours. You have to decide what to do with all this. My suggestion would be to take that into account when you're looking at what to do with this budget. And if there's a benchmark number, just as we've been looking at that 2.65 as our benchmark, it does give you more spending authority. I'd suggest that remain the benchmark we use for this year to kind of gauge our spending. If we do that, again, we can bring a half a point of the cap forward into 2016 to cushion that effect that will occur in 2016. So that's, again, I'm sorry it's happening at this late point. There's always something that occurs, it seems, at this point in the process. We wanted to make sure we've got it right, and it is a one-time situation that we have to deal with. So, again, I would keep the sights at that 2.65%, which gives another 138 in spending if you choose to do that.
Any questions for Joe at this particular point? Will and then Carol.
Joe, remind us the you've just gone through an elaborate description of what we need to do to contort ourselves to comply with the governor's very arbitrary system of tax capology. Remind us what this is worth to the typical citizen if we do this.
Right now, $6.34.
And to me, that is insane, that we would even feel the necessity of trying to do this. I realize this is a minority view on this legislature and that many of my colleagues view this differently, and I certainly respect each of us trying to come to this. But I just trying to do this, I think, is disturbing.
Carol.
Okay, I'm confused, to use one of our favorite phrases from my colleague across the table. At what amount will the governor cover the $6.34 or $7.01 or however much it is so that our residents don't actually, maybe they pay it, but they get back a check to cover
it?
Difference.
All the way up to the cap.
Which
so,
is 3.1.
So that 3.1 would be the new
okay.
cap.
But at what amount would that carry through till next year as well?
Well, if you spent let's say we spent up to that amount of money. So that would be $360,000. So say you spent up to that amount. If next year you wanted to stay within the cap is only going to be around 2% next year because of this adjustment in 2016. So we would have to basically give back if you want to stay within the cap.
Okay, but so the 2. Was it 6? 6.5 is the amount that is
call that the normal baseline.
Now our revised normal baseline, and how many? What does that transfer to in dollars and cents? And how much of that gets sent back to our residents?
Okay, it's $138,000 in additional levy, and frankly, I haven't calculated what that would mean to the average homeowner in terms of the impact, and then what would come back under the check. I can certainly do that for you as the evening goes on.
My sense is it's somewhat above $6 and not $100. It's a dollar or so above $6.
Or less, okay. And in any case, whether we stick to the $6.34 or the $6.68 or whatever it calculates to, our residents are going to get a check back this year and in the next couple of years as well.
Well, this year, if we stay within the cap, whatever you raise, if we stay within the cap, they'll get a check back in that amount. Next year, there are two tests that have to be passed. One is we stay within the cap, and again, it's going to be a lesser cap than it was this year. We have to stay within the cap, and we also have to show that we have entered into a savings plan. We've done mergers, consolidations, and other things that will save the equivalent of 1% of our levy for each of the following 3 years. So there's two tests we have to satisfy in 2016.
Okay, Brian.
Can I say that again?
Yeah, the first year there's one test. Stay within the cap. You stay within the cap, the state then rebates homeowners that one test. Come 2016, there are two tests. The first is you stay within the cap. The second test is that we have put together a plan that shows the state that over the next 3 years, we will save the equivalent of 1% of our property tax levy through efficiency measures, shared services, mergers, and consolidations.
Brian.
Thanks. I've been trying to follow along as best I can. And I always try to summarize in my own mind. Let's say that we spend up to 3.14% this year, and it's all on levy. Okay. Next year we have a correction of basically a percent. 0.5 excess this year, 0.5 of a reduction next year, adds up to a point. You've said that your best guess is that the cap is going to be legitimately right around 2% next year. So that takes that down to 1% for next year to make up.
Actually, my arithmetic's been a little bit different. I've assumed that on average our cap is going to be, let's say that the baseline this year is our average cap. So we're going to see growth in the tax base. We're going to see some other things. So let's say on average our cap is going to be, 2.5%. Make the arithmetic easy.
Okay.
So in this year, that half point bumps us up to 3. Come next year, it will be a half a point less. So I was at 2.5. So it would be a 2% cap.
I think we're saying the same thing, only differently.
Yeah, but is it 1% swing between those 2 years? Yes.
Okay. And then it appears as though if we follow the governor's rules, you know, whatever that means to each and every person here, but That's an additional 1% reduction. So theoretically, we could be looking at, in order to stay under the cap next year, basically a 1.5% increase on levy from this year. Is kind of the way I do the math.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have, yeah, you have some other things in play. Negotiated contracts, let's say, for instance, those run at 2%, which most of our budget goes towards. If you've been following the market at all, there seems to be certainly the possibility of a market correction, which will, the state's not going to get caught with their pants down again as far as pensions. So that reduction in the pension rates, and again, we're assuming that that there is a market correction of some sort. And I believe, actually, it's showing signs of it now. We're not going to have the savings in the pension rates that we were expecting to have for next year, which further exacerbates things. I guess I'm summing it up by I'm not crazy about spending newfound money just for the sake of spending it and getting yourself into a hole for next year before you even get to next year. That's my view.
Thank you. Anyone else? Then I want to move on. Well, who had their hand up first? Julie, I'll go ladies first. Go ahead.
Will spoke my words, my thoughts very eloquently, but as I listen to this in more detail, it is so obnoxious to be put through these hoops by our governor for what he perceives as, I guess, a political gain for him. It makes me even more strongly wish to just ignore the tax cap in all of its versions. And I also am really sorry to see up there that we are going to keep a running tally of what our votes do to the levy, since that means that what we vote on first to accept will affect what we might vote on later. It would be much better if we could just ignore that and vote on the merits of what we have before us. And, Joe, as long as you are urging us, which is what it feels like, to make adjustments so that we stay under the governor's cap this year and next year and find all those savings, I despair of what our county is going to be able to do for the residents.
I suggest put your hand over your eyes. Don't look at the screen. Who else had their hands up? Mike, go ahead. And Peter and Leslie.
I don't think any of us is pleased with the whole tax cap process. We certainly aren't happy that this was imposed on us. One of the unintended consequences of the tax cap, which we need to be very careful about, is that because we have a certain amount of levy that we can increase up to the cap, whatever that moving target is, and tonight we've understood that it moves more than we think it does, I don't think we should automatically say that that's money that we have to spend or ought to spend or can spend. We know we have increases every year, and probably we need to increase our tax levy unless we have really big growth in sales tax and really big growth in our assessment roll. But we probably need to increase the levy in order to pay pensions, health care, salaries, buy police cars, buy pencils, whatever it is that we have to do as a county, provide mental health services, you name it. But it doesn't mean that we have to spend the cap or above. We need to have a reasoned budget. We need to spend the money that will make the services available to our residents. And we need to be able to treat our employees fairly. So I don't think we should try to push this envelope as high as we can this year. I don't think we need to do that. I think we need to continue to do our best. We've had wonderful cooperation here. We've had a pretty placid, as they go sometimes, placid budget year, because things have helped us a little bit on the sales tax, helped us a little bit on the where we had to be with the pensions and the health consortium. But let's not say, well, just for whatever reason, because we're not happy with state government, that we ought to just spend as much as we can.
Peter.
Well, Mike just said a lot of what I was going to say, but why not? I'll say it again. We've been through this a long time, and every year there are some of us who argue that the amounts of money are so small that there's just no point in adhering to it. And the notion that somehow we are going to embarrass the governor or thumb our nose in the governor's face or something to me has like that is not a good way to run an organization. The fact of the matter is, as near as I can tell, and periodically I ask people this question, my constituents this question when I see them around and we start to talk about things, what do they think? Do they think that we ought to adhere to the tax cap? I pretty much always get the answer yes. And the question is, well, you realize that going over the tax cap, we could just, you know, what's it going to be, $25, $100, something like that? That's trivial money. Well, there are two problems with that, is that it's trivial money any one time, but it all mounts up, okay? And 100 this year, 100, as what's-his-name, Everett Dirksen said, you spend a billion here, a billion there, sooner or less you're talking about real money. And that's the fact, even when you're down at $200 instead of $200 million. So I believe that that's what our constituents want us to do. I think there's nothing that this legislature does or wants to do that I have ever found trivial or I have ever found wrong that I want to vote against. But nonetheless, I think we have to balance that by what I believe is the overwhelming desire of the people who represent us. If I found something that saved the life of 10 children, then I would have no problem voting against the tax cap. But that's not what I see in this budget. I think that the things that we're talking about are rather marginal in that we could do with them, we could do without them. And I do not believe that we ought to sneer at the governor and make our decisions based on that.
Loveland.
I have a real simple question.
Sure.
What is the tax cap?
Ha! A real simple question, she says.
3.14.
The official tax cap is going to be 3.14% because of that anomaly.
Thank you.
Let's move ahead. And yes?
In the spirit of moving ahead, but in an order that might get out on the table our stance as a body, there's an item that was on the list, down the list a ways, and I'm just wondering if we should take that up.
My answer is no, because that the number that we came up with was a number to ask the county administrator, and this is really not a budget item. We're dealing with a budget that is a 2.34 budget, and if you like 2.65, fine, we can stop at that point, but I don't think we vote to change the 2.34 or 2.36 cap in May to 2.65 because the cap now is 3.14. So I think we should go through the process and see where it ends up. And Dooley, I have to say this, that all of us run for office, and we always all say the same thing, that we're transparent, and that's a word that we deal with all the time. And a suggestion that we should not show these numbers on it is, like, unconscionable. I don't understand why you would even say that. When we are dealing with transparency, and we talk about that all the time. In fact, you're up. You have the First Amendment right here.
Well, I need to speak to what you just said to me,
Jim. Finally.
It's not a question of transparency at all. Our constituents can see what we're voting to support and whether they think it's a good idea or not, just the way we should be thinking about it, absent this artificial cap that we're going to be paying attention to throughout. It's not a question of transparency. It's a question of how this game affects the outcome. And, Peter, I don't think I would vote for anything to snub the governor or whatever you think I'm doing. I want to vote on things that I think our residents need, and that's about it.
To that end, you're up first.
I am up first, which is awkward. So the planning department had explained to us that as time goes by, the housing needs assessment that has been used by developers is becoming increasingly out of date. And the planning department suggested it would serve our community well to have the housing needs assessment updated. And that's what OTR 38 is, and that's what I listed as what I think we should move. And if someone seconds it, I would like to have the planning commissioner address this.
So
I'm moving it.
You're moving $25,000 one time.
It's definitely one time. It's a study update.
Okay. Is there a second? Mike Sigler. Comments?
Could the commissioner speak to this, please?
Absolutely.
Or not.
There we go. I think that's on. I did explain, I think, but of course you've heard many explanations of many things through your budget meeting, so I'll reiterate. The housing needs assessment was based on a base year of 2004, and it projected ahead 10 years to 2014 housing needs. And we built a strategy based on that projection. In recent years, even though the 10-year period was not up, we were increasingly hearing from folks who wanted to disagree with the need for more housing in the community, that it was out of date, it wasn't reliable, it wasn't something to base decisions on. And so as this year truly does come to the end of its life, that becomes a much more legitimate argument to make. And throughout the time that we've had this needs assessment in place, it has been a helpful target for the community to gauge progress against. And we've seen it cited over and again by housing developers, in the media, and it's kept the public's eye on the ball, so to speak, that there is an issue out there, there is something we want to try to achieve as a community, and has raised awareness, I think. So, as well as provided a useful guide to mark progress and to see whether we're achieving what we think is needed in the way of housing. Many things have changed since 2004 when this process was undertaken, so it would be useful to have a fresh look and an update, and we would intend to do it in such a way that it would be able to be regularly updated without having to go through a full process again and keep it current. So that's the rationale, that's the hope, and that's what we were requesting.
Anyone else? Mike, and then Carol.
Ed, thanks. I've been going back and forth on this one. I mentioned, I think when you were up before on it, isn't there some possibility of grant funding here? And some folks translated that into my suggestion that it might be coming from developers. We wouldn't want to do that. But would there be any other possibility of looking for grant funding from the state, for example?
Certainly we could look for funding. I'm not aware of a source currently that would do this, but we certainly would be happy to look for it. And we could even agree that before any funds were expended, we'd take a look. Of course, the lag of time in grants is usually 1 to 2 years from the time you start looking to actually seeing anything. And we are at a point where it'd be useful to move ahead with this, but we're certainly, we'll take whatever the legislature's direction is on this issue.
Thank you.
Carol, sorry. Leslie.
And where is this, what's the scope of study for this area, the entire county?
The entire county would be the scope.
Given that, can you tell me if when this has been done in the past, if there's been collaboration with city folks and others? Because, for example, I know that the DIA does its own housing needs assessment study. How are we making this one thing, and where are they on this?
Well, we certainly would collaborate with others to define the scope and to bring to bear any resources that already exist, any information that's previously been developed. Most of the studies that have been done are fairly near-term. We tend to take a little bit longer-term view. But, yes, there is other information out there that would be incorporated into this effort, and we would work collaboratively with other partners, as we did with the first needs assessment. We did work with other partners in the community to define the scope.
Anyone else? Carol?
So, Ed, a couple of questions. Would this study focus on housing at a certain income level or type of housing?
It looks at the overall need for housing, at least the way we did it the first time, and I assume we would try to do something similar. Looks at the overall need, but also tries to figure out what are the who's that housing going to need to serve and what can they afford to pay. So in the original assessment, we came up with the number of overall units, but also a number that we felt needed to be affordable to at 80% of median income or below, to give us an idea how many of those units needed to provide for that income group. And that was a critical part of the analysis. To come up with just saying we need so many units, you might be able to create those units, but you may still have the affordability problem because they weren't units that were affordable to the people that needed them.
So would this also include, though, number of units needed at higher income levels that developers could use to help us bring in new wood, what we call new wood, new.
It would include it all, you know, across all income levels, yes.
Okay. And then the cost for the study, how finely tuned have you made your estimate already about what it would cost to do a good study?
Well, this number is significantly lower than what we did the first time. I think we would anticipate more participation by staff and by partners in helping, you know, develop the study itself. So we propose to go about it in a way slightly different that would be more economical. So the prior study was between $35,000 and $40,000. I don't remember the exact number. We're proposing $25,000 this time, assuming that we're going to have more staff involvement and hopefully some of our partners involved in generating and developing some of the information.
Okay, thanks. And then my other question actually has to do with the columns there where we can't see the full headers, what we're looking at in front of us. So can you just read off somebody, either Joe or Kevin, the column headers across there?
The ones that are currently sort of yellow-looking, Carol?
Yeah.
So the first one is entry number. Second one is legislators. Second one is OTR number.
They correspond to your sheet.
It's on your sheet, Carol.
There's more columns up there then.
Well, the one that may be a little confusing is toward the end on the right side, the one that says change of duration. I think that simply if it had been submitted as a one-time and somebody has suggested making it target, right, that's where that picks up.
So change duration means?
It went from one-time to target.
So, and no in that column means it's
same as
it's
it was
one
presented.
Time. It means the same thing as the column before it.
I think it's that the OTR wasn't changed. So nobody proposed taking something that had been in as a one-time and making a target. So no just means it's there was no change.
Okay, thank you.
Eliza.
I got my question answered. Thank you.
Are we ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand of adding $25,000 at one time back in. Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? 4 against. Next item, Planning Department, Julie Kiefer, OTR 37, increase by $5K and make target funding stream corridor. It's in the budget one time at $25,000.
And that is an example of the change in duration, having a big black box there, because it does change the duration from one time to target.
And in that black box, there's a yes.
I guess the black box is yes.
I see it up there now. I don't see it on my paper. Thank you.
You look real hard. It's there.
Do you want to move it?
I do want to move this and explain it. Shall I wait?
You need a second. Is there a second? It dies for the lack of a second.
Can I ask a question?
No, I'm looking for a second.
I have a point of information.
Okay. Now you may have a question.
Okay. Can I move to table this without there being a second? No.
No.
Okay.
Motion,
then I will second it.
We already have a second.
Oh, okay.
Brian, you had your hand up?
I wanted to speak about this.
All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So this is something that I recall we do pretty much every year when it comes up. We do it one time. It's not going to go away. So making it a target makes a lot of sense to me. With respect to raising the amount, I probably should have done that as a separate motion, because in real life, the same amount year after year buys less and less. And we could easily spend more than $30,000 on this in any given year. But I thought both things need doing. If it would be helpful for voting purposes, Jim, I would be happy to split this into two separate votes. What would you like?
Go with what you have. It makes no difference to me at all.
Okay. So you have the rationale. If it gets included one time, it will be good, but it won't be enough. And we see it feels so foolish to do it one time every year. It's just another example of what we should acknowledge as target. Flooding isn't going to go away. Erosion isn't going to go away. So.
All right. So
I'm moving it the way it is.
At target?
At target, yes.
Okay. And there was a second by Will. And Brian, anyone else? Peter.
Maybe this is just a blanket statement. If you have department heads that make a request, and if he needed $30,000, he would have asked for it. I'm not sure that that's our job here in the legislature. So by that alone, I would not support this.
Would it help to have me ask the commissioner about this one?
No, we've already been through his budget presentation, so no, it wouldn't. Not for me, it wouldn't.
Peter Stein.
Well, to use a phrase I've used before, I'm confused. You tell me that this happens every year one time? I thought we didn't do that. Did I misunderstand?
No, you did not misunderstand. We do things one time, and this one has been done one time for a number of years, I believe. Joe, you can...
So I would like an explanation of that from somebody or other.
Kevin?
I would ask Ed to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're coming out from under a three-year run as a multi-year.
Which is one time, 3 years, yes.
Yes.
That's correct.
Anyone else? Carolyn Will.
So I have really mixed feelings about this. You know, I chair the planning committee. It's, as long as I've been here, on the, and I think, boy, I'm in my seventh year now, I think we have done this. We've had money in there to address our streams. And when I first got on the legislature, I thought, okay, that's a reasonable thing to do. We've gotten behind, like we've gotten behind on a lot of things we needed to do. I have a reaction to, it seems like on both local, state, national, and now from, we heard from the Pentagon yesterday, they've just had a report that in, it, we should respond to climate change and the increased flooding and by shoring up our streams and building stronger pipes and building dams. And for me, if we're going to spend an additional $30,000 a year target money, my druthers personally would be to spend it addressing the root causes of the flooding rather than the after effect of the flooding. But I, you know, that's obviously not going to turn around. It'll take decades to turn that around and the ill effects that we have now. So I certainly wouldn't vote against this. And I'm interested to hear what other people think about whether we ought to do this now or get a little further down on our list and see where our budget stands before we take this up.
I will.
$30,000 is not going to significantly change anything. I mean, it's truly a drop in a very large bucket that's coming down I'm mixing a metaphor here. But I certainly buy the argument that it's not going to go away. We really ought to be essentially budgeting it, which is why we ought to be considering a target. To answer Brian's concern, if the department had wanted more, they would have asked. I think we have department heads that took Joe's marching orders and our marching orders very, very seriously, tried to make it work. That does not mean that we cannot look at a situation and independently say, hey, we appreciate you coming in under, you know, with the constraints you were given, but we understand that globally we're going to be dealing with flooding events that are just going to be absolutely insane, and we have got to be doing more to begin to respond. And, yeah, I don't disagree with Carol that this is not addressing the underlying cause, but the after effects are going to be significant, and one of the ways you control that is dealing with erosion. So I will be voting for this.
Kevin, excuse me, Peter, you said is this year three?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be misspeaking. This would be the first year that it's out from under a three-year,
okay. All right.
Multi-year.
Peter.
Yeah, I was hoping to get a response from either the county administrator or the head of the planning department as to why it is that this isn't in the budget if we've been doing it for 3 years. Presumably, well, I'm not presuming anything, but I would like to hear an explanation of why it wasn't there to help me make a decision about this.
In making it a one-time, it brings it back to the legislature every year. So once you establish this as a target expenditure, it will be there for the long haul, basically. So by bringing it back as a one-time, first of all, we were up against our limits. But also, in making it a one-time, every year this will come back to you for reconsideration. So this is, I mean, if there's an exception to the kind of the rule that, you know, we've tried to keep this money away from recurring expenses, this is, I guess, somewhat recurring, but again, when we looked at it, when I looked at it, first of all, I didn't have enough target authority to do it, and second, it makes sense to bring this one back to review it annually as opposed to putting it in the baseline, and you will, you'll never see it again, but it's in the baseline.
I wasn't asking that question. I was asking the question, why wasn't it in the budget?
Oh, it's in the budget.
It's in the budget.
It's in the budget. But it's in the budget as a one-time.
This is an OTR. You didn't put it in there, right?
No, I did put it in. I put it in at $25,000 one time.
Right.
Dooley has changed it to $30,000
okay,
target.
Okay, all
yeah.
Right.
Anyone else? Dooley?
Could Commissioner Mark speak more accurately to the history of this program? My recollection is that we revised how we worked on these tasks. We appointed a much more professional committee to evaluate the needs. It was based on the Malone-McBroom study from a number of years ago, but I don't remember it as well as probably the commissioner did. So before we vote, could I ask Commissioner Marks to tell us about the history of this better and why it makes sense to have it as a target?
Sure. In some form or another, we've had a program in the planning department for as long as any existing staff can remember, which is at least over 20 years, to deal with flood mitigation, erosion, sedimentation issues. We did about maybe 10 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, I can't remember exactly when, undertake a complete comprehensive view, look at the program, and hired a consultant who did watershed assessments of all the major watersheds in the county so we would be investing these funds in a productive way that cumulatively gave benefit instead of just benefiting one particular point location and having that perhaps undone by something that happened somewhere else. So we really reformed the program to be more watershed-based and based on an overall analysis. So that was a change that was made. We have been operating under three-year funding for a number of years. This year we didn't ask for three-year because just the budget process doesn't deal that well with three-year requests. So we did go to the target request because this had been such an ongoing program. We felt it was likely to continue and needed to continue, particularly in light of what we've identified in our hazard mitigation plan update, that these are the kinds of events we're most likely to be facing increasingly in the future. So that's basically the history. It's been ongoing, and we have been operating on three-year cycle funding for most of the last probably 10 years or so.
Anyone else? Let me remind you, it's in at 25K as a one-time, and this is an increase of 5,000 to 30 for target. Last comment, Carol.
I want to know, so can you, in prior years, I think you've showed us what the impact would be on the upper end of things if we do this. Where do we see that here?
What do you mean, Karen? You mean see the effect on rate and levy?
And scrolled over, so now we see it. Okay. Yes. I think this is a worthy project, and I think thank you for refreshing my memory. It has been every single year that I've been here. We have seen this item, and I don't see it going away. I see it only getting worse. So I think it's silly not to just recognize it and thank you to Dooley for bringing it to us.
Are we ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand for Dooley's amendment, which is $30,000 into target for the stream corridor restoration. All in favor, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four. Opposed? One, two, three, four to eight, right? The vote is four in favor, eight against. Dooley, Will?
Can I make a proposal on the same topic with a lesser amount? I'd like to.
Well, does it not stay in the budget at 25 on target?
No, okay, but I wanted to do the one time.
Or on one time?
Yeah. So I would move that we go with the original figure, which was 25,000 as an OTR target. Thank you. And I so move.
Is there a second? Julie? Any conversation about that? Are we all in favor of Will's amendment to add 25K to the budget under target? All in favor, please raise your hand. One, two, three. Opposed? It looks like three to nine, and that is defeated. Carol?
So in the interest of starting to put this into our budget. I'd like to propose that we keep $20,000 of that one time, but at a $10,000 amount to make 10,000 of it target and the other.
Is there a second to that? 20 in one time, 10 in target. Is there a second to that? Motion dies for lack of a second. Anything else? We're moving on. Dooley, you're number three. It is TC3, and you are asking for a...
I don't have enough information to move on this. I briefly spoke to Mike, and he wasn't sure what the other county was doing, so I don't think this is ready for prime time now.
All right. We will skip number three. My only comment to that would be that whatever we do, Cortland County has to do if it's a direct dump into the TC3 budget. I think I'm right in that.
Yes.
Number four, Dooley, again, Human Service Coalition, maintain current staffing levels, fully fund OTR, $10,000 in target.
Yes, I'll move that. Thank you for reading it all, Jim.
Would you rather read it? That's fine with me. Is there a second to what Dooley is suggesting?
I'll second for purposes of allowing Dooley to make the case.
And Will seconds. Go ahead, Dooley.
Well, I actually would prefer to have staff make the case for us, if that's possible.
And
which would be
Kathy Schlatter. Kathy Schlatter is here.
I am. There we go. This request was just for staffing. This is for the Human Service Planning Program, which is does both the administration for the coalition and does all the agency work, all the funding review process. It's basically myself and Nancy and the amount of and the trainers that do the training. The amount that we asked for does not even get us back to the level the county funded us at in 2008. So our costs just keep going up. Health insurance goes up in double digits, rent goes up, and we're just trying to get back to what you guys gave us to do the same amount of work, if not more, in 2008. So that's our request.
Thank you.
Peter Stein.
I would just like to add the following information for what it's worth. The members of the Health and Human Services Committee looked at all of the over-target requests for those departments that report to us, and there were no people who believed, none of us voted to support this. That certainly has nothing to do with the admiration we have for the people that work in that organization, but nonetheless, looking at the amounts of money that we were asking to spend, we thought we could not justify this.
Will.
I would respectfully point out, Peter, that the committee did not vote. You met with us individually.
Oh, right.
And we're all of us are free to rethink things. So, but.
But I just do want to report that.
Thank you.
Anyone else commenting on this? Are we ready to vote?
I didn't argue for it strongly. It seems to me we rely so heavily on the Human Services Coalition, and to expect them to be able to do the good job that they have done over the years with fewer people year after year makes no sense to me. This is where what we do for the community goes back to what our staff is able to do for us for our deliberations, and to handicap them seems wrong to me. So it seems so simple and basic, having nothing to do with the tax cap at all, just to get services as best we can analyzed so that our residents benefit from what they need. So I hope you will support this.
Anyone else? All in favor of the $10,000 to target Human Service Coalition to maintain current staffing levels, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Opposed? Four against. And that is target money, right?
It is.
Kevin McGuire, where is the 2.36, where's that number bumping up? Oh, okay, right in there. So
with the addition of this $10 increase, I'm sorry, $10,000 increase to the tax levy, and this, so the pieces that are moving are here, right. And that's the draw on reserve.
That's a one time.
Yeah, and the target amounts are showing up as increases here. The change shows up in this column.
And it bumps from 234 to 236.
That's right.
This, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next item, Kiefer Klein, Burbank, Shinagawa Stein, Luz Herrera, Youth Services, Rec Partnership, pay county share of increase, $1,238. It's target. Who's going to move it?
I'm moving it. We're all moving it.
Yeah. Well, pick one.
Dooley,
you're moving it? Nate moves it. Is there a second? I'll give Carol a second on that one. Do we need to talk about this, or?
Oh,
hell. Yeah.
I mean,
please.
I'm looking at a sheet right here on Mike's desk. It says, I agree to a three-minute time limit if I agree not to raise my voice. So
you're talking about it, Jim.
Oh. Whatever. All in favor of this to target, please raise your hand.
Please.
Opposed, if any? That's a shutout, 12-0. Okay. Yeah, right.
The listening public, did you say the amount?
What's that? $1,238. Next one, transportation planning, Dan Klein. Go ahead, Dan. This is a new item, so I'm going to let you do it.
Okay. Thank you. I'd like to move 15,000, not 19 as is listed, 15,000 to be added to the proposed 2015 budget as a one-time request to implement a one-year pilot program for van pool service for the state Route 96, 3496 corridor in Tompkins County. The allocation would be included in the transportation planning budget in the Department of Social Services.
Is there a second to that? Peter Stein, let me just get this correct here. It was 19 on our sheet. It is now moving to 15.
Correct.
Okay. Comments on Dan's motion or his proposal here? Anyone? Mike and then Dooley and then Leslin.
I like the proposal. I just need to understand better the logistics of how it's going. Dwight, is it going to be going through, or Dan, through Dwight's
That's correct.
Auspices?
Yep.
Could Dwight speak to it as to how it will be actually handled?
Sure.
Dwight Mengel?
First, let me say that this proposal was initiated by Dan Klein, and he asked if we supported it, and I affirmed that. This is in response to the impending loss of Tioga County's public transit services, which will cease operating on November 30th, that's the last day. For over 20 years, West Danby has had transit service provided by Tioga County. There was no involvement of Tompkins County. And there's passengers from West Danby who commute, and we believe that this would be a effective alternative to try. This is more than a van pool. This is getting using a van pool services through TCAT. There are two van pools that operate now from Watkins Glen to Ithaca, and this is one that would come from West Danby. The way this
would work is that people who have contacted Mr. Klein, and we would canvass the community for people who are interested in participating with VanPool. This funding would help support initiating VanPools for this year. It would need to be sustainable afterwards, but we do need support to initiate service and to cultivate the use and ridership for it to grow and be sustainable. We will be using the good services of the Way to Go folks and services to help get the word out. We have access to some very good videos and other support for people to learn how VanPools work, what's the responsibility of drivers, and good functioning VanPools is an extremely cost-effective way of providing services. And I think particularly in the rural hamlets, we do need to develop more volunteer driver-based programs, and the VanPool is a very strong program.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Anyone else? Julie Lawson.
I don't understand. You referred to volunteer drivers. Could you explain a little more how that works, please?
Sure. Let me run through a couple of quick nuts and bolts of some of the details of this. So what the money would be buying is a contract with a company called V-Ride. They're a contract with a company called V-Ride.
V?
Mm-hmm, like VanPool. And that's the same company that Cornell has a contract with now that's coming from Watkins Glen. So it's the same company that's been doing it in this county. And what the money would buy is the use of the van, can think of it as a lease, and the insurance, and the maintenance, and the gasoline for 1 year. And the contract is a month-to-month contract, so if something changes along the way, such as nobody's riding the van, or twice as many people want to ride the van as they are now, then that contract could be modified. The contract itself would be held at TCAT, as the other contracts are right now, and TCAT would be providing the bookkeeping services, which they've said is not a large workload increase for them. They're not worried about that. One of the reasons that this is so much cheaper than buses, and by the way, to replicate the bus service, TCAT has said it's several hundred thousand dollars. Okay, so one of the reasons this is so low is that there's no professional drivers. So among the people that would be participating, one or probably more of them would get certified to drive the van. And it's pretty straightforward. They'd have to submit their driver's license. They have to have a clean record for 5 years. And they have to watch a safety and orientation video.
Peter Stein. I'm sorry, Leslin. Peter, excuse me. Leslin had her hand up and she's...
I'm waving.
I know. I'm sorry.
Dan, thank you, because I needed a little bit more explanation. So that brings up a different question for me, which is, are there other companies that provide this service? And are we looking to have sort of an open process, or we just decided on this one company that we know of?
Well, we don't have an open process. It wasn't a bid, if that's what you're asking. But the reason that I settled on this one is that I talked to the Way to Go program. I talked to Dwight. I talked to other transportation people in the county. And this was the one they all talked about, and that already has a track record in our county. That was why.
I understand that, but I am... You probably don't know, but most people know that, I mean, if we're going to invest county dollars, I am interested in a process that allows everybody to have a fair shot, regardless of who has had a track record. We have a lot of people who've had track records with us that aren't necessarily doing what's best, but they've been here. So I am really interested in seeing, I know it's just a year, if there's a way for us to consider other pools or companies that might have an interest and can provide a similar service.
I will definitely look into that.
Thank you.
Peter Stein now.
Yeah, I'd like to make a point, that an important point, which I think hasn't been made clear. This spending $15,000 on this assumes that people aren't going to pay anything. The riders aren't going to pay anything, and that's not the case. The riders will have to pay, and if you look at the number of places in the van pool, you can convince yourself that isn't going to cost the county anything. If you fill those, if you fill all those places, and the and one charges people what they would normally, the fares that they would normally pay on a bus for that service, it comes out essentially as being no money at all. So this money that we're talking about here, the $15,000, is a upper limit on what the county is going to, what the county will add. So I think that it's really important to try to do this sort of thing, because where TCAT is not going to be able to send these buses, the large buses that they have with their trained drivers and their huge appetite for diesel fuel, into little hamlets. And if we can make this work, I think this would be a really important advance in transportation in the county.
I have Leslin, and then back to you, Dan.
Actually, the most important thing I wanted to say, Dan, is how much I appreciate you bringing this forward, because I think it's unconscionable to leave people out in West DNB without public transportation. So I do appreciate this coming to us.
Thank you.
The thinking behind it.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Dan.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the funding, too. So, that is the upper limit of what it would cost us, and my guess is it would cost a lot less. There's also $1,000 in the tentative budget of the town of Danby to help pay for this service, and I'm pretty confident that it's going to pass. Peter has also been using some of his contacts out in the world to look for money at Cornell and within the TCAP budget, so we'll see if those pan out. There's also the potential for some small grants that could support this in some specific ways. But none of that stuff can be in place now. So all those things will take a little time to develop. And I guess the other thing I would say about, you know, the spending dollars for transportation for a specific location or for a specific service, and the idea of the van paying for itself, actually, I don't think of it like that, because currently the buses don't pay for themselves. All buses are heavily subsidized. Certainly the bus that goes out to West Danby now and goes and continues into Tioga County is not paying for itself with the $1.50 that those people pay. It's just not. So I'm not thinking of it like that. What I'm thinking of it as, though, is a joint funding source, a funding scheme from a lot of different parties.
Thank you, Dan. Carol, you have your hand up.
Well, I just wanted to confirm. So is the motion for 15,000 or
yes,
up to 15,000? That's a difference in wording.
My sense is 15,000.
That's correct. I can't come up with an exact dollar figure for several reasons. A few I mentioned already, and the other is that the actual cost of the van depends upon how many people sign up. There's different size vans available for depending on how many people sign up. They're all at different costs, so there's just too many variables to get an exact number yet.
Well, I certainly support this, and I'm very impressed that you, the amount of time that you've managed to put this together from when the issue came up. I'm still a little confused as to the amounts. So how much did you say the town of Danby was considering putting in?
$1,000.
$1,000. And, again, so we would be passing a definite amount of 15,000, or we would be passing an amount of up to 15,000?
Right.
One time.
Well, this being my first time through the budget process, I am not sure how that would work. It is true that there are lots of things we fund where all the money is not spent throughout the year, right? We budget a certain amount. Yes. And
Rick kind of said, you can't budget up to, so you would appropriate the $15,000. But you wouldn't spend the money unless you needed it. So I'm sure there would be communication with the legislature, but they would spend only what they need. And it sounds like they may not need this full 15.
Thank you.
Mike Sigler.
No, I wanted to say, Dan, I wanted to thank you for this, and I'm going to support it. I just, because I kind of look at this as like emergency spending. I just want to make it clear, though, I'm hoping this thing doesn't take on kind of a life of its own, because I remember we did emergency spending for a daycare like 6 years ago, and I still see it in the budget now, and I'm like, I understand we're kind of saying, oh, this will fund itself in the future, and there was a good instance of something that didn't take over into the future and is now kind of a good chunk of our budget. So certainly I understand this year, let's see how it works, but I just don't want to see it going on in perpetuity. So.
Go ahead.
So I just want to be really clear. I am not saying that this is going to fund itself in the future, just like the buses do not fund themselves. And I guess the other thing to consider is that the residents of West Danby are a portion of their county tax is going to support TCAT, which doesn't serve them. So this, think of it as a tentacle of TCAT, an unofficial tentacle.
Is there
tentacle.
Any opportunity to maybe fold this into TCAT? Or is that the...
I guess that's a good conversation for the coming year, yeah.
Before everyone, we lose all, they call the van and need a ride out of here. Let's vote on this. All in favor of the $15,000 for the West Danby van, please raise your hand.
I'm confused. Is it 15 or 19?
No, it's 15, Mike.
All right.
Opposed, if any? That's a shutout, 12 to nothing. Not bad. Pretty good. Maybe I got a couple that I'm going to give to you, okay?
My marketing services.
Yeah. Next, Carol Chalk. I'm sorry. Michael Lane. Contingent fund, set aside funding for eventual City of Ithaca downtown community outreach person. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to move this and speak to it if I get a second.
Okay, you want to move a dollar amount?
Moving $20,000.
Is there a second?
It's Target.
Target. Is there a second? Will seconds. Go ahead, Mike.
The City of Ithaca is our county seat, and it means a lot what happens down here. It's the location of our county campus and many of our buildings, including the mental health building on Green Street, including the Tompkins County Public Library on Green Street. And we know that there is a lot going on the commons, not only the construction, but the changes in people down there, the numbers of people. One of the things that's been happening is we see more and more folks who are maybe homeless or teenagers hanging out or people acting uncivilly to each other in the area of the commons, smokers in the area of the commons. Changes in procedures at the city and regulations of the commons have changed the location of a lot of those folks over to the Green Street area, particularly at the bus stop and in front of the Tompkins County Public Library. There are difficulties from time to time, and they need to be addressed. We've had a couple of situations in the library recently where we've had to actually call the police in to make some arrests for drug issues. We don't think that that's what we need to have at the library. But we also don't want to have to turn the commons and the library area into some kind of an armed state. So one proposal that's been has come out, and the city is behind this and has been looking at a model out of Burlington, Vermont, where there is basically an outreach worker who would be assigned, probably would be a city employee, to work with groups of people, different people in the area, try to see if they can be helped with various services we have, whether it's mental health services or social services or probationary services, all those kinds of things. And in order to do this, there's been a request that the county participate in it. And it makes a lot of sense for this participation to be through the library. We think it would probably cost about $60,000 for one person. Burlington, frankly, is much larger, and we would have to keep an eye on this, that this thing doesn't mushroom in some way. Also, this outreach worker would have to be very carefully coordinated with other social services professionals that we have in our probation department, social services, and other things, so that they're not out there on their own. So I'm suggesting that we put $20,000 in the contingent fund, which could, if there was a developed MOU with the city and the Downtown Ithaca Association or others, come through the library in a memorandum, as I said, where they could potentially have a person like this working in this area. It's a little difficult to totally understand because we haven't ever done anything like this before, but I think it's important that we make this effort without saying that we have to hire a lot of police officers. The city has to hire a lot of police officers, I should say, to have even greater patrols necessarily. Let's see if we can do this by trying a little humanity approach. And I would also point out that the library is doing what it can. One of the things it wants to address in the future will be a stronger teen service, to have a place where young teens can come in and be able to access educational materials and entertainment materials and those kinds of things in the public library. So that's my case.
I have Brian, and Susan Curry is here, and if there's anyone, Brian, I would let you go, and if Susan wants to speak or people have questions for her, she's available to answer. Go ahead, Brian.
Thanks. I'm quite familiar with this concept, and I spend a lot of time in that area, and I'm quite familiar with the problems that have arisen. I'm having and Mike, I think you just answered one of my questions in that there has been some dialogue between us and the city.
Yes.
As far as this. Okay. Something tells me that let's call them clients that would be dealt with right now, they are in large part congregating right outside City Hall, right at the bus stop, right in front of the library, and actually the library security personnel does a pretty good job. And the police have to respond. Something tells me, though, that once the commons is completed, those folks are going to move back over to the commons where they were before the commons got all torn up. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't help with that initiative, but being that it is just an initiative at this point, and not I don't know. I guess all the bugs have not been worked out on it. I wouldn't mind. Sure, we can keep that amount, but if we could make it one time for now, and see what happens. The I know the Commons is slated to be completed within the next year, and you know, that initiative might be such a rousing success that that we may very well want to continue this as a target with even more money. I mean, who knows? There's just so much, so many moving parts at this point. I think I'd feel more comfortable being at one time. And if I get enough people to agree with me, I will make that motion.
Well, you certainly could make it now if you wanted. You can make it now.
Okay, I did.
Is there a second for his motion? Peter seconds it. Discussion on the motion is moving target 20K target to 20K one time. Mike.
I would hope we could keep it at target, because if indeed there is an agreement among these entities to do this and they go out to hire somebody, someone's got to have a feeling if they want to come to work that their position is going to be funded beyond 1 year.
Mike, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, I'm against them both. I mean, if this happens, great with the city. Let the city come to us. But, I mean, we've been asking for the city to help us out with the library for years. And they've said, no, we're not helping you out with your library because it's our library. And this seems like a problem that the city should be dealing with. And I'm not, I mean, if they're not helping us out with the library, why are we helping them out with patrolling it? I don't know. It seems like an odd thing for us to do.
I have Leslie, Carol, and Peter, and then Dooley.
So I'm not sure who has been at the table in these discussions, but as a city rep, I'm sitting on this body. I'm sitting here a little disturbed that I didn't know anything about this initiative. So I just need to put that out there. And secondly, just hearing about it and the way you describe it, Mike, sends off a whole bunch of red flags in my head. And I cannot support this until I have a whole lot more information about how this is going to play out and move forward. Is there an issue? Yes, I agree that there is an issue. But I really want to make sure that we are being particularly careful in whatever the deliberations are of what this position is going to look like and do, in not stomping on people's human rights, not stomping on or violating anybody in any way. So I'm sorry, there are just all kinds of red flags going off in my head. Maybe other people who represent the city were involved in this conversation, and I'm glad for that. But I really wish I had heard something about it, not at this moment.
I have Peter, Carol, Dooley, and then Nate.
Wow. Let's see. In a certain sense, this sort of sounds like the van pool. I mean, it isn't all worked out. We don't have all the bugs out, but it's a good idea, and we ought to invest and we ought to proceed with it. And that seems right to me. And in the same sense that the van pool is one time, I would think this thing would be one time until we see that it actually works. I don't think that should be a problem. In response to what you said, Brian, that they'd all go back to the Commons, at least I was told that, in fact, the reason they left the Commons is not that they tore it up, but that you're not allowed to smoke. And they come back, and that's what brought them over to Green Street in the library, was the fact that you could smoke. So I think they're there for a while.
Yep.
And it is a problem there. It's a serious problem. That's the major bus stop of TCAT, is that point, and it's full of people who some people find frightening in one way or another. So I think that I agree with Leslin. Leslin, they're people's rights. People have a right to, they got a right to smoke down there unless we pass an ordinance saying they can. And they got a right to hang out there. You can hang out any place. So all those things are true. But there is I have certainly seen behavior that would concern a whole lot of people and would try to keep them away from there. And I think that's an important thing that we have to do, as well as preserving their rights or preserve the other rights of the people who want to come down there to catch the bus and are concerned about what's said and the activity that's going on. So I think it's a good idea. I will support it in a one-time basis, and if that fails, I'd probably support it as a target also. But I think it's more appropriate that we, since we don't have a really good plan, to take it step by step.
Carol Chalk.
Yeah, I think for me, in order to evaluate how I want to vote on whether it ought to be targeted or one-time, I need to know a little bit more about how far the conversation's gone and exactly what it is we're contemplating doing. So is it possible to hear from Susan Curry about whether you've been part of discussions, and if so, a little more detail, and maybe also from Mike or anybody else in the room?
May we turn to Joe? He's been a part of that.
Yeah, I think Susan may have been a part of some of these conversations as well. This is a concept that's been presented out in the community now for almost a year, including to our CJATI. So the city has been talking about the Burlington model as an alternative
to basically a police officer dealing with individuals who are creating kind of nuisance situations in a way that will be constructive for the individual and might prevent some people who might otherwise end up in our jail. So in terms of the appeal to us, a part of that appeal is it's an alternative to incarceration. In fact, it was discussed at some length within the task force. The task force in that report has recommended that we do find a way to try to support what is being proposed here. I think the way Mike has structured this, and if I could just give one additional detail, I think the service would be provided by an employee of an agency. I think Family and Children's might be the employer as opposed to the city.
I may have been wrong on that. I was thinking it was a city employee, but an agency employee. Okay.
So as we talked about how to bring this to you, it was felt, and this was really Mike's suggestion, since it is unformed at this point, it makes great sense to bring it as a contingency item. So the city owes you, a full description and explanation of what they proposed before that money would come out of contingency and go over to the library. So it provides funding for it, but that funding is contingent upon your ultimate approval of the concept and the details behind it. So that's why it is the way it is, as a contingency item.
Excuse me a moment. Joe, it's in the budget as a target item.
It's a target, but it would be money put into the contingent account instead of sent directly into the library for them to spend. So you would have to agree to take it out of contingency and put it into the library at some point during the year.
I have to pay attention. Susan, would you like to?
I wanted to address Leslie because from the library's perspective, this needs to be a collaborative and positive approach to the community needs. And the library doesn't like being in the position of we never want to say no. We see our role as being available to people. And one of the things that I see is this is a very complicated issue. And there are people who come to complain about the smokers because the smoking ban ends across the street from the library. And yet the library is county property. But it gets very complicated. And so the library has found, and then there has been drug activity. There's been lots of fighting at points. We have met with every organization in town at the library. We've had community meetings to talk about this. We've actually gone outside, invited members of the public of these groups to come in and talk with us about what they want from the library, what they need from the library. We've got some of our best volunteers that way. And we're looking for a positive approach to the community because we see everybody who's out there, no matter how they're behaving, that's our community. These are our people. And we need to make the library a positive place for everybody. So there was a meeting called by the mayor earlier this year that had many people from throughout the county. One agency that we've worked with particularly is mental health. And mental health was at that meeting. And we've done a lot of work with them in collaborating. And so it was a very large group from across the county and the city to talk about this. And we talked a lot about the Burlington example of how they have an outreach person and could that possibly work in Ithaca. And I believe that's when the city began to look at putting together something similar. And they do have a task force. We have a representative on that task force, and I think they're continuing to work. I didn't realize they had come until I talked with Mike and Joe that they had come to actually ask for funding for this. But we are willing to work. We want it to be a positive experience for everyone. And we're willing to work in any way that we need to make this work for the community.
Carol Chalk, I have you next.
Well, yes, this was my question that I had asked. So I just wanted a follow-up. So I'm remembering that we first heard something about security questions at the library, and we were looking at, well, do we need a security officer there? And then I'm remembering that we heard about something about this for mental health, and I think it's unconscionable that the mental health department was asked by the state to go to a system with one caseworker for every, or one professional for every 12 clients to one for 40, and we talked about whether, and the fact that in the early days of this that we were seeing some issues at the library, and was there a connection?
Carol, please use Mark.
Was there a connection? So I don't see this like the Van Pool, because I think that it's just at a much earlier stage, or it's just maybe that we don't have as much of the detail. So did I hear Joe correctly to say, I think this is worth doing. I am thinking it's not well formed enough to be anything other than one time at this point. Did I hear you say that this is actually coming to us from the city, that they're putting something in and they're asking us to join them? Is that what you said?
Yeah, the city, the downtown group. I don't know if there's going to be contributions beyond that, foundation-type contributions. But, yeah, it's a shared funding model. So they did ask us for a contribution to
and
that.
Are they doing it as one-time or target? Kind of
I don't know that they do one-times and targets the way we do. I don't know.
Okay. You know, I certainly think something is worth trying, and I certainly like the approach of working with people rather than it being a security officer just telling people what they can't do. So I'm open to trying something.
Okay, we are talking about an amendment from target to one time, and I have Dooley, Nate, Mike, and Leslin.
Yes, thank you. I need to have clarified why this is in the library budget and not in our budget directly.
I suggested it be for the library because they've been the ones that have been working in with the city on this issue right along, that it made a lot of sense for the library to be a participant in this, and by giving them the funds, we can make sure that a memorandum of understanding would include the library and their issues.
Because it seems to me that any MOU should be with the county directly, city and county, and not only the library. But including the library is fine. So I have a problem with the description, and I don't want to vote for something that puts it solely in the library budget. So that would apply to whatever version of this gets voted on. I guess the other thing that I didn't understand was how the city is describing this in its budget right now. Does anyone know that?
How are they describing it?
Yeah. I don't follow the city budget process closely, but presumably there's something in there, and I'd like to know how it's described there. Again, before I have to vote on something.
Joe, do you have any?
No, I don't. No, I don't know how they've described it in their budget.
I would be
know.
Very happy to see this put off until our next voting meeting, if we could get some answers.
So can you make that as an amendment?
I could, but I thought I was trying to get answers first. So I would move to table this until our next voting meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
No discussion on a tabling motion. All in favor of tabling this until Thursday, I would guess, is our next voting meeting. Please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five. Opposed? We're five in favor and seven opposed. The motion is defeated. We're back to the original one time out of contingent fund, $20,000. And I have Nate, Mike, and Leslin.
Yeah, I'm supportive of this. This was actually talked about back, at least since August. This has been a discussion that the city's been having, and I believe it's Seth Murtaugh that is heading up the task force for it from a city council or common council perspective. And then it was also included in Cervantes with the mayor's plan related to policing, and so I'm sure that it's included in his budget. I have not. I just asked him if it was, but I'm sure that since he made it a priority in his September a rollout of that plan, that it would be inside of his budget. I don't know if it's 1 year or fully funded for years, but it's there. Now, also, I'm personally supportive of this, and I'm supportive of it for Target for reasons that Mike talked about, but I'm supportive of this for two reasons. Number one, that that the benefit to the library, but number two, the benefit to us and our potential jail costs. I mean, the reason why these programs were implemented in places like Burlington, Portland, Maine, and other communities is that they actually found that a lot of the service calls that they were getting and the times where they would send people to jail, they were often repeat offenders. And so this initiative actually got someone on the ground working with people in a non-punitive way, actually in a very positive way, right, to avoid those things from happening. And so there was a positive impact in the community as a result of this that actually ended up saving money. Now, I don't know how government is funded in Vermont, but I know that at the county level, you know, we pay for jail costs, and this is something that I think helps on that front as well as supports the library. So that's why I'm supporting it.
Susan?
Can I just I know that the Burlington model is a shared funding model, that it's city and county, and I think there's educational support and medical institution support, and it is designed exactly to do what you said, is to be a positive response rather than someone comes. Very often the behavior that you see is resulting from someone needing services. And, I mean, that's certainly what we see. And so there's not an infrastructure in place for that. So sometimes calling the police is the way you can get those people into service. So this is someone who has a very specific training and is tasked with finding them the services they need rather than having it be a negative call the police, which is scary. And in terms of security guards, we have talked with our security guards. We did a lot of training with them in terms of how they interact with the community, because it's the same thing. It can't be punitive. They need to be respectful. So it's a step in the right direction, and I know that there may not be a lot of details on it now, but there's been a lot of discussion about it and a lot of collaboration. So it is designed to do exactly what you said, but I know it's a shared funding model, and I'll just go away now.
Mike Sigler. Thank you, Susan.
All this discussion has actually made me more objectionable to this. I mean, for number one, what I'm hearing is that the city of Ithaca cannot police city streets. I mean, that's what I'm hearing, is that we have all these people doing things outside the library, like drug deals, that the city, we can't handle it, is what I'm hearing. Number two, I just think I heard that we have security guards within the library that are going outside of the library to do, like, interdictions. I don't want my library's personnel doing that. No. The liability issues with that are terrible.
No, the library has always had security guards.
No, I understand that, but yeah. If you're telling me they're going outside of the library,
no,
which is
they
where the
are
problem
responsible
is.
To patrol the immediate outside, but if there is an issue with blocking the library,
I mean, that's
the
problem
in.
Right there. If they're going outside the library as patrol people, there, I don't
no.
We control the sidewalk.
They call the police.
Streets.
They call the police when there's an issue.
All right, I don't know about any of that.
Yeah. Let me assure you that the security guards are security guards, and when there is a legal issue, they call the authorities.
No, I'm saying that they could be assaulted in their unspecified duties. There's a lot of issue with that. That there are security guards for inside the building, not exterior building. And if the city of Ithaca can't handle this small area, which is across the street from City Hall, I'm concerned about things now.
It's all about how you define handle.
And this is a terrible precedent. Yeah. Well, fine. Then it's the way you handle it. If you're telling me that our police officers in Ithaca are too aggressive to handle this issue right across the street from City Hall, that's another problem that Cervantes is going to have to deal with. But at a county level, I don't think we're dealing with that. And this sets a terrible precedent. We're going to now start funding police agencies in Tompkins County outside of the Sheriff's Department? I don't want to go and start funding.
Mike, I don't believe we're going to be funding the police agency.
Well, they're asking us to fund a police agent.
No.
No, I think it will be with
more of a social worker.
A social worker, family and children's, or a similar organization.
Well, then we should be running it through DHS, not the library.
Anything else, Mike?
Nope. Think I'm.
Ludlam.
Oh, good.
So, Joe and Susan, I do want to thank you for jarring my memory and, you know, talking about the Burlington model and the meeting. The very first meeting you're referring to, Susan, I was there. We had 10 million people in the room. What I'm reacting to is what you said, Susan, is not knowing that this was coming at this point. Nate, I hear you that at the city council level they've been having discussions. Has there been any group among us that has been having discussions, been participating in those discussions, that we are aware of what the issues are as they do there, and we know that this was going to be coming now? That's what I'm reacting to, not anything else. Do I believe this is something that could be very, very useful? Certainly do. I also appreciate the correction that this is not a city employee, that but an employee, it would be somebody from, you know, an agency, somebody who has that sort of skill set. But I think that's what I'm reacting to, is not having us be involved in that discussion, you know, for something this important, but being asked now without information. Julia Sinner saying, I need more information. I think people around the table are asking to understand this. You know, in a couple of days, you know, I'm in a meeting with the woman who came from New York State, the drug task force lady who was at the very first meeting, you know, to talk more, you know, about this issue and what are some things that can be done. You know, outside of the libraries, and the only area that we have concerns about this is what's here now before us, and the library is a county facility. But that's my thing. It's like, you know, these sorts of things, we have a lot more involvement and conversation, and I just want to know who was involved in this conversation that we got shared information. That's all I need to know.
Joe?
Well, I can speak to some. Again, it's been in the general conversation for some time, including CJATA and the jail task force. When I guess that things began to formalize, it was not very long ago. So now we have the situation of, do we try to provide some assistance through the budget that is on the table right now, or do we miss that timing and have to come back into the budget later on after things have already been put in place? So as we talked, we felt it was better to get essentially a placeholder in this budget so that money could be set aside, and not a lot, the $20,000, and still do it in a way that will allow the conversation to happen with the legislature that you talked about, Leslin. So it's not simply giving the library $20,000. It's putting it in the budget in a way that's going to require that conversation between the city and the county legislature about the intended outcomes and the details of this program before we spend a penny to support it. So it came, again, it was a timing issue. It came late, and so this was a way to, again, get it in play.
Nate.
Yeah, the city actually has a budget committee meeting tomorrow, and I believe the chair of this task force, Seth Murtaugh, is actually planning on bringing up this issue to talk about at the budget committee meeting. So now that I know that information, and also given Leslin's comments, I think I'm actually in favor of tabling it to the next meeting. And I would like to, if I can move that again, since I voted against the last time, I'd like to move it now.
Hold on. I'm dealing with the Rules Committee chairperson up here.
We can do that.
I can reconsider,
so,
right? Because I,
Nate, you are,
thank you,
making a motion to, well, go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to move to table this item until the next budget meeting.
We'll postpone.
Yeah, postpone. Move to postpone it.
Or reconsider the previous vote.
You're postponing,
I can also do
you're
that.
Postponing until the next meeting, which is Thursday the 16th, and I have Peter and Mike and Will all seconding it, right?
Yeah, we all do.
And Leslin and anybody else, anybody in the audience want to second? discussion, no, none on the tabling. All in favor, please raise your hand in tabling this motion until Thursday. Opposed, if any. I have Mike and Peter. I'm sorry, Mike and Peter. It was difficult. It's going to be tabled until Thursday. It's a 10 to 2 vote. Damn.
Point of order.
Can do it again Thursday.
Yes, Peter.
My stomach is burning here. Point of order. You can't table until another time. You can just table, and that means it's off the table and stays there until somebody brings it up from the table. That's different than postponing, which is debatable and can come to a specific time.
So, Peter, save us from ourselves. What should we say?
Sorry, just
postpone.
We did that.
Information.
Yeah. We did that.
Point of information, you were quoting Robert's Rules of Order, but in the rules of the Tompkins County Legislature, page 6, item number 5, our legislature has in its rules that we lay on the table until a certain number 4
that.
Is to lay on the table.
I withdraw my comment.
Number 5 is to lay on the table.
Thank you. Please try not to.
Get a yellow book. Get it, Carol.
All right. It's on. It's been postponed, friends, until, well, I'll keep it to myself.
Postponed on the table.
Yeah, postponed on the table. Thank you, Leslie.
I'll find out what happens at the meeting.
Great.
Thank you.
Good idea, Nate. Don't you know the mayor. Carol, you're number 8. Adjust the tax cap assumption from 236 to 265. As I said at the beginning, it is not a budget item.
Well, this is the one that I
know. What do you want to do
earlier
with it?
So I've been corrected by the administrator that my terminology could use some adjusting, that what I'm looking to adjust is the tax, the levy increase. And my rationale for doing this, if I may, because I don't think I'm going to...
Please use your mic.
A second.
You got to move something
what
first.
What I'm looking for is a way to recognize that our thinking has changed and does, well, we do this every year. We make adjustments during our budget process, our voting process. We make adjustments usually to account for the changed assumptions between the time that we heard those assumptions initially back in April and now.
May I interrupt?
Changes are
please let me interrupt. You need to make a motion. Otherwise, it's
so
just
my
a
motion,
discussion.
Unless the I guess I want to, can I ask the administrator at this point, do you have a suggested way to do what I'm looking to do, which is to recognize that we have changed our, that the state has made changes on us, that we don't have in our budget now, so that, you know, the headline tomorrow may end up being we did something different than what we expected to do in April. But in fact, what we're doing is responding to the state. What's the terminology?
I think you just did it. I think you just did it. There's nothing to amend. So if you change the sales tax, you make a budget amendment. You make an adjustment.
That's different.
The tax cap is just knowing where the cap is. So in the budget message, again, we had identified that already by the time we gave you the budget, the cap was not the 2.36% we thought it was. It was 2.65%. So in the record, although it's kind of buried in the budget message, that's already been known. But in you speaking to it tonight and getting it on the record, that, again, kind of the baseline cap is not the 2.36 that we thought it was. It's more like 2.65%. That's the way you would do it, because there is no other change you would make to the budget to reflect that.
Okay. Well, I think what I was hearing was that in order to do it, we would have to change that levy increase number. We would have to change the levy, our target levy, to 46,000. What would be the amended 46,000 million
We'd have to add $138,000 to that.
But you wouldn't, Carol, because the tentative budget is the tentative budget, and the levy in the tentative budget is the 46,123. So that they can't be changed. It's watching the amended budget number to see where it goes. And as you see right now, you're at 2.37%. So that's a number. If you want to try to stay within this baseline cap of 2.65, that's what you'll be watching. So, again, it's not amending the tentative budget because, the cap isn't a part of that calculus of the budget itself. It's just something to recognize.
Carol, would I get a second if I moved to change the number to 2.5? We stayed 0.02% under before, so if I changed it to 2.63 to recognize the changed numbers we got from the state, I just think it changes the headline in the morning from county doesn't stay within its...
Carol, may I make a comment?
I'm moving first, that.
Tell me what you're moving. Tell me what you're moving.
Changing the tentative budget levy increase to 2.63% instead of 2.34%, whatever numbers.
I don't believe you can do that, but is there a second to that? Please, no one second it.
Okay. Well, if there's not a second, I will withdraw that one.
Okay, thank you.
So then on the sales tax projection...
Excuse me. We're on to number 9. Carol is increasing the sales tax by 0.2%. Revenue, $62,795. Go ahead.
I will move that one. Can I speak?
I wanted to ask a question before you went into the next one to ask how long you project this meeting to go.
8:30.
I have to leave at 7:30, so I'm going to miss a lot of stuff.
Okay. Well, 8:30. It's a scheduled 3-hour meeting.
Okay. Do you want me to explain this one? Shall I do that?
Was there a second to it?
For purposes of discussion?
Was there a second? There was no second. It dies for a lack of a second.
Okay.
Number 10, Carol Chalk, restore household annual fee by $2 to $54 and install 4 compost collection sites at $25,000 each. And we're talking about $100,000 plus at one time. And let me see. The fee in your budget, Joe, is
$52.
It was $56. It was reduced to $52 in the 2015 budget. Go ahead. You're on.
Let me save you. So is there anybody here from Solid Waste tonight? I understand that Barb wasn't able to be here with us
no,
tonight.
There is
so
not.
Can I ask to postpone this one until Thursday and see if she wants, either she can come by then or somebody else from Solid Waste? Yes?
Make a motion.
I would like to move to postpone this one until Thursday.
Is there a second? Will?
I think
discussion.
I think I just can do it, right?
No, there is no. There is no discussion. All in favor of postponing to, as Peter says, we can't say when. Can we say when? Oh, we can say when. Oh, good. Thursday. All in favor of postponing till Thursday? Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8 opposed. 1, 2, 3. Is there 9?
Actually, since I voted in the majority, if somebody from Solid Waste walks in, I'd be happy to take it up tonight.
I do not believe anyone from Solid Waste will walk in. Number 12. Carol Chalk, HSC, Children's Center, Living Wage, 4823 target. Go ahead, Carol.
Yes, I will move that one. It is $4,823, and it would be to bring the Children's Center staff up to a living wage.
Is there a second? Nate seconds. I have a, Carol, go ahead. And then I have a question for Joe.
Okay. We have supported this particular child set care center since the era in which it had started as a parents cooperative. The state wouldn't let it continue that way, so their expenses way up, went way up. It serves a population of people who might not otherwise be able to go out and look for a job, might not otherwise afford their job, so we have been willing to support it. Anybody who's ever been in a room with a young under 5-year-old for more than an hour will understand that this is work that ought to be paid at a living wage. So I just think of the agencies that we are talking about bringing up. A lot of our other human services agencies are at a livable wage, and this one ought to be there as well.
Thank you, Carol. Joe, I have a question for you. Talk to me somewhat about this organization's budget. I do remember when I first came on the ledge in 2006, they were in serious financial trouble. The county administrator then, along with other people, for want of a better word, it was a bailout. They were in serious financial situation, and I believe the county took over a large majority of their funding, if not all. But go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I just have two comments on this. The first is I don't believe this allocation would bring them to living wage. I think this would be a step toward it, but it doesn't hit the mark of living wage, so it's an increment toward it. Second thing is we really struggle with this. We talked to GEO about this issue also. The only reason that we're talking about living wage in this particular daycare center is because we provide them already a clean subsidy of $120,000 a year. We don't subsidize any other daycare organization in the county. So we provide a cash subsidy to this group, and it's only because we already give them $120,000 that we then bring the living wage into the discussion. So we've really struggled with it, and we believe that, you know, given the fact that we do contribute so much already to that budget, that we look at the living wage in a different light because of that.
Mike Klein.
If and we Nate. Wanted to do something here, wouldn't we be looking at the money we've already allocated for living wage increments and contracts?
We could, but we could. But again, I want to emphasize, I think this is a small installment toward what they would really need to reach the living wage threshold.
Can we ask Human Services?
Michael, or I'm sorry, Nate had his hand up, and then we're back to you, Carol.
Yeah, so where did this number come from? I have a number of questions. The first one is, where did this number come from? So Kathy or Nancy, can you
Carol?
Speak to that, or Carol?
No, I defer to Kathy or Nancy to answer why that was the number.
So while they're working on that,
over-target request.
And Joe, that's what I seconded it because I didn't want to actually get more discussion on this because this one is a tricky situation because it's not like, you know, in the other instances where we're talking about living wage, we are supporting we have a contract with a agency to provide a specific service that is done by a specific set of employees. Right? So it's clearer to say, all right, these are your county employees that you may want to boost up. And it's not always perfect, but that's what we aim for. But this is not us actually contracting with the Drop-In Children's Center, but the Children's Center. It's not an instance of us contracting with them to provide a service specifically. We're actually just only providing a subsidy to them right now. So it is different in nature than what we've talked about. And so I think the scope is different than what Joe has set out. So that's why I'm actually not keen on supporting it at this moment, even though I seconded it because I think we need to have this discussion. But at least if I could know where that number came from, that'd be helpful.
Kevin?
I'm sorry, Nate. Are you asking me the specific number,
4,823? Yeah,
4,823,
you know,
It does seem like a kind of an odd number, but that's because we were able to add a little bit of the city sales tax money that we had that was given us. And when we subtracted it from the number that we came out with, 800 823. Yeah, it is an odd number. But the, when we get the sales tax money, it's a specific number, so we can't round that. So we came out, that's when we adjusted everything else, that's the one that came out of the number.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we this should be more of a discussion, a policy discussion that we have at government operations, yes, related to the 100,000 contingent that we put in last year. And so I won't support this right now.
Peter Stein.
Well, I won't support it, not because I'm against the living wage. I'm not. But I frankly don't know how to make decisions between one set of employees, yeah, and others. So I'm not happy at having to make that decision. I think it should be done in a different way.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I'll just say that the reason that I picked on this one is because I've been spending a lot of time with a two-year-old. And boy, you know, it's a labor of love, but it's either got to be a labor of love or it is. I've got a room full of 2-year-olds. You know, it's, again, you know, it's, yes, we have to make choices about where we can spend our limited funds. And to me, that's a good place.
Are they 2-year-olds or what?
Please, let's not go there. I spent 34 years of my life with children from the age of 3 to 17, and, yeah, it is a labor of love. Someone had their hand up, Leslin.
I did. Carol, I hear you, and in all seriousness, you know, these are some of the lowest paid workers in our county who do a very big, big job. I know I couldn't have, you know, gotten through a lot of my days without the drop-in center. And even then, it wasn't even affordable for me. My question is for Joe, just in terms of the living wage, this amendment brought up. Maybe it's for Nate. Is there more discussion happening around what the next few agencies are that we're bringing up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the
Downtown Ithaca Children's Center is a necessity on that list right now because of what you describe as the relationship we have with them.
Yeah, exactly. So so let me answer those two pieces there. So the first piece is, are we continuing this discussion on the living wage component?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, at our next Government Operations Committee this month, Joe is going to be giving us an update on the contracts that are coming up in this coming year and figuring out which ones that we'll be able to tackle.
Okay.
The second piece is that the drop-in children's center, because it's an annual subsidy that we give, it was on the big list, but once we scoped it down, it actually did not make the scope. Is that correct, Joe?
Yeah, and it will come back. So as we talk about contracts that are still in the no column, it'll still come back for conversation.
Yeah, right. But right now, but we pulled it out of the scope because we had to bring down such, you know, the full impact of living wage was, you know, in the millions, and so we had to take a smaller group. So
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Dave McKenna.
Yeah, I believe that this should be put in the context of living wage funds that we've already allocated. And the reason being is that it is to get people to the living wage, and they were specifically set aside for that purpose. So I won't support it at this time under this particular venue.
Anyone else? Let's vote on this. All in favor of 4823 to Target for the HSC/Children's Center living wage, please raise your hand. 1-2. Opposed? All the rest. Except for Dooley, so it is. 2-9. The motion is defeated.
Hey, Jim?
Yes.
On the next one, can we do 19 first?
Can we do what?
I withdraw the next. I'm not going to do the next one because there's a group supporting number 19. I will defer to that group and withdraw number 13.
Hold on. No, entry number 19 is off?
No, number 13 is off.
Number 13 is off? So number 19...
right? Is that your question?
You did whatever, yes.
Okay, number 19, that's Burbank, Shinagawa-Stein, Klein, Los Herrera, Food Distribution Network, Loaves and Fishes, blah, blah, blah. $5,000 one time. Someone want to move it? Will moves. Is there a second? Peter Stein, second. Carol Chalk.
Yeah, so I withdrew. I had number 13 was, I had put that on my list as target funding. I still think it's sort of what one of the most important things we do in the community is to help feed people. And the food, pantry food that's handed out at various locations around the county is vitally important, especially to those who don't have enough to eat. And I think $5,000 is a ridiculously low amount of money. It comes up a lot of years. The only reason it's as low as it is that we've had a history in this community of incredible volunteers who go and collect this food and arrange to have it distributed. And I'm on various email lists where they're always appealing for more people to come and be part of this. We had Sarah Pines for many years who did this, you know, out of the goodness of her heart. That's irreplaceable at the level she was doing it, but because they don't have somebody like that to continue it, it's all the more reason. Just because we didn't have to pay for that kind of level of administration for many years.
You know this is passing, right?
Doesn't mean that it's not needed.
Okay.
So anyway, I had it at Target, and I withdrew it because there was a group that had coalesced around doing another one time, but next year I may make this Target.
I have Peter Stein and Dan Klein.
The reason this is brought to you as a one time is twofold. One is that that's how the agency asked for it, and second, it comes back as a one time because, in fact, it doesn't make any sense to be a target device because it this is for transportation. It's not for the food. People don't buy the food. They get the food and then they have to distribute it. And unless they have the money to pay for the distribution, then the food rots away. So in a certain sense, this reminds me of the bail fund. We don't have the bail fund as a target because we only replenish it when we need it. So it's the same sort of thing. And it just doesn't make any sense to put money in there when there's no food to distribute. So it's as simple as that.
Dan Klein.
So Carol may have answered my question there, but whoever can answer this. Is the Food Distribution Network what was the Friendship Donations Network?
Well, you can answer.
No, I think it'd be better if we invited Kathy or...
No, they're two separate. They're two separate.
Who is the Food Donation Network, Distribution Network? I've never heard of them before.
Right. It's the one Sarah Pine started. They have an office down in, what's the name? It used to be the paint store. I forget the name.
That was the Friendship Donations Network.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And the other one is the System of Food Pantries.
Okay. Thank you. I was just trying to clarify. Thanks.
So just to be clear, this is the distribution network, not the discrete project, which was the Friendship Donations project. But this is the broader serving all the pantries. Is that in fact correct?
This money goes to the Food Bank of the Southern Tier as a line of credit for the food pantries for all the 17 food pantries across the county. And then they use it in Loaves and Fishes. They use it to pull down.
And this
food.
Does translate to real food. This is
yes.
Covering a shortfall that's very needed.
Wait,
can I ask a question?
Excuse me, one second. Kathy,
can I just follow up there?
I'm
still a little confused. So it's the Food Bank of the Southern Tier? Is that what you said?
So all the pantries get their food delivered from the Food Bank of Southern Tier. So the county funding goes right to the Food Bank of Southern Tier, and it's set up as a line of credit for all the food pantries, and they can pull out as they need it over the year. You know, it comes out.
Okay, but the Food Distribution Network is a different organization that gets money or gets products from the southern tier food bank?
They might also, but they're not part of this group. This is the food pantries and loaves and fishes.
It's a misnomer on our page. It's a misnomer on our page, then. The way it got shortened in the brief description there should really read HSC food pantry / loaves and fishes rather than food distribution.
Who would the money be going to?
Who's it going to?
Yeah.
Food pantries.
And what's the name of the organization?
The money goes to the Food Bank of the Southern Tier. The food pantries are a loose group of individuals, some of in the different communities, and they all get food from the Food Bank of the Southern Tier. So this helps support, this gives them food. So the contract actually is with the Food Bank of the Southern Tier for the pantries in Tompkins County.
Thank you. Carol, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I was going to follow up with Kathy.
She was before you, strangely enough.
So I'm trying to understand how is food pantry administration being, how is the fact that we used to have free administration or very low-cost administration of this being replaced in our county? It isn't.
They meet on a regular basis. They have a treasurer. They have a, and it's all volunteer. This system is all volunteer, except for loaves and fishes, which does have staff. But this money is just used to supply food for their lunches and dinners that they do. It's not used for staffing. It's just used for food, for a line of credit at the Food Bank of the Southern Tier.
Brian.
Am I allowed to call the question?
Please.
Can we do that?
Yeah, sure.
It boggles my mind how we have all this discussion over something that's...
well, make the motion.
Well, then call the question.
Okay, somebody else can call the question then. It still boggles my mind.
I'll
call the question.
Is there a second to calling the question? Stein and McBean Clare Park. Second. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. Opposed to calling the question? No one. So we're back to the question 5K. We're going to HSC Food Distribution Network, which is the Southern Tier, right?
Food Bank.
Food Bank, and it is a
line of credit.
One time.
A line of credit.
Right, it's a line of credit, but it's for the Southern Tier, and it's $5,000 one time, right?
Yep. Can we please clarify that? Because I don't think that's accurate.
What's not accurate?
That the Food Distribution Network is the Food Bank of the Southern Tier?
No.
The Food Bank of the Southern Tier is like the supermarket.
Say it.
It's like they're the distributor of the food.
Right.
So the money, it goes to them.
Right.
And then the pantries, the Food Distribution Network, which is the group of pantries, then pulls down they deliver it on a truck. They then say, we're going to take our money and we want this week. And they come and they deliver it. But the money is for the pantries. Yeah.
All right. All in favor. $5,000 one time. Raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Yep. Opposed? Nobody. How many do we have here? 11?
I found 13.
What? I'm seeing if you're paying attention. There's 11 people here.
You said 13, Boo.
I did say 13, but I'm just seeing that you're paying attention. There are 11 zip on that one. The San Francisco Giants beat the Cardinals also. Mike Lane, county historian. Funding for county's bicentennial celebration, three-year, multi-year.
I talked at the last legislative meeting about the commission that's been recommended by the county historian, and we're going to be proceeding to try to set that up. What I've done here is put a small amount of money. I know $5,000 isn't anything to shake a stick at, but it is a relatively small amount of money. to begin trying to build up some money for the bicentennial in 2017. This is written to do it three-year, multi-year, and I'm not exactly sure how that arose, because we could need more in year two or year three than $5,000. But I wanted to start something, and maybe Rick can help us figure out how to put it into a reserve account or something like that, so that it could be held, so that when we need it, they'll have a little money there, and we can kind of build up over 3 years.
So let me ask, Mike, you're talking $5,000 one time for 2015.
If we can put it into a reserve account, yes. And I would move that.
Is there a second? Brian?
Yep.
Discussion. Mike Ziegler?
I'm just wondering why we couldn't handle this as a tourism grant. I mean, we get grants for $25,000, you know, for events in the community. This would be a pretty big event. Why can't we just handle it through the
I would think that they would be a source of funds for this as well.
So you're envisioning something.
It.
Oh, okay.
It's the county's, you know, bicentennial, so this would be sort of the county's contribution.
Yeah, this is our birthday party.
That's right.
If I have anything to do with it, it'll be more than that.
But conceivably, it could be a community celebration as well. That might be a component of it. So we could have a big party.
Was that your comment?
I thought that was an acknowledgement, yes. What? Yes, that was it.
Okay. Anyone else on this $5,000 one time for county bicentennial? All in favor, signify by raising your hand. Opposed, if any, it's 11-0. It passes. Thank you for doing that, Mike. Top of page two. Oh, my goodness. Dennis and McKenna. It is soil and water. John Nagley is here. Increase the agency's target funding. Dave, you want to move that?
I will definitely move that.
And is there a second to increase the target funding by $30,000? Is there a second? Will seconds. Peter Stein, first of all.
Knowing almost nothing about this, but having heard a lot, okay. I wondered why this isn't in the budget.
Let me. Joe can talk a little bit about it, and then I will talk about it, and Dave can. Dave and I are the S&W reps as we speak, and we can give some answers about that. Someone else had their hand up out here. No one else? Okay. Joe, do you want to talk about what you did?
Yeah, and again, this is in the budget. So it is a part of the OTR that was not a part of the recommended budget. So they asked for the money, but we didn't fully fund their request. So this simply would supplement the amount that we did recommend in the budget. So I think all told, they had OTRs that were in the neighborhood of $100,000. We provided $36,000, and we didn't attach any specific spending target to it because they had a lot of things that they talked about doing. We felt it would be better to just give them the money and have them decide with their board how that money is best targeted. So this is simply supplementing the amount that we were able to fund in the OTR.
Okay, so they asked for more than you gave them, right?
Again, they asked for 100. We gave them about 36.
Right. So what's the argument for giving them more?
All right. Let me talk about that. Or, Dave, do you want to go ahead?
My basic reason for putting this in was to supplement the insurance costs for families. They are not supported for insurance costs past the individual employee, and I personally think that's the wrong way to be. I don't think we should have the county doing that. And if what's good for everybody else should be good for them. So anyway, that's where I'm at with it, and there were other things that they could use the money for, but I feel the insurance is the most important one myself.
Let me speak a little bit about it. And John, you may want to come to the microphone if questions are asked for you. As you all remember, 2 years ago, that this organization was essentially in the soil or on the rocks, as one might say. And we hired Les Travis. came in here and rewrote everything and brought the organization back to a point that is operating in a pretty efficient, very efficient manner. We have John Negley as the director. And let me just say to you, in your OTR list, they asked for a clerk to handle administrative duties, and it was $45,000. They asked for a contribution to allow employees to buy family coverage, which Dave spoke to, and they also asked for some freeze-up money to repay the state, and you all remember about that. And they asked for a vehicle that Joe funded, or the budget funded, and Joe put a lump sum of $36,000 in, and left it up to the board to decide. Dave and I believe that they should have health insurance, and my reason for supporting this, it's a big number, but I think this organization was literally down and out, and they could have gone either way until someone came in here and fixed it. And every county, every agricultural county in upstate New York needs a soil and water operation, especially when you have a major university at your doorstep, which is an agricultural college. So, and we all get pretty good health insurance. Our employees have wonderful health insurance here, and it makes sense to me that there should be some family coverage over there. And Brian, and then I have a question for you, John. Talk to us about how many employees that you do have, and you know how they would be affected by that. But go ahead, Brian.
I guess I need some clarification. The employees of Soil and Water are not county employees.
No, they're not.
Okay, because we would be, if we earmarked this, I like the way we're doing it, actually, and I'm not opposed to this OTR, but leave it up to the board and your recommendations, John, as to how you want to spend this, and hopefully there will be additional funds. But if we get into wanting to provide health insurance, there's a whole lot of other people out there that are in the same sort of status as you folks, and I'm not sure we want to go down that road. If they choose to do that with this money, that's fine.
Yeah, and if I misspoke, basically Joe had said in his budget that he would supply the money in his budget, and then the board would make a determination on how to spend that money. John, go ahead.
Yep. Yeah, so you had a question about the employees and staffing levels.
Yeah, John, please get closer to the mic.
Sorry, yeah. We're, including myself, we have three other employees. So there's four total that we have as a staff. And then there's a contract employee, which is separate funds that pays for his salary. We do get some various state grants and programs in that help offset some of the salary costs, which we have been playing with and trying to offset some of the county money that goes towards salaries and then can go back into those programs for implementing on-the-ground best management practices for conservation work. So this target funding would help to get us back to that health insurance level that the staff could get that family health insurance coverage. And all of the staff currently have families that could take advantage of this. Currently, they are on single coverage. And my concern as a district manager is if they do find other opportunities, we are a small staff. Pretty closely knit over the past 2 years of working together and knowing each other, how each other works, that if they do find some other opportunities that have better benefits, that's a concern.
Let me make one more comment, John. I heard very clearly what Brian said about health insurance and other employees, and I think it will be left up to the board for certain that, you know, if this passes, that we would make some determinations, maybe in health insurance, most possibly, but clearly there are some other issues that we wanted to deal with at the same time. Did anyone have, someone have their hand up? Carol Leslin.
So my first few years at the county legislature, this agency was bringing in grant funding at about $1 million a year, and the, I don't know what you, indirect or overhead, whatever you call it, handled it, this, that, this kind of expense. Are other counties still at that level? Is it possible that we'll get back there?
The state is definitely tightening up their budgets on how much they want to put towards personnel. They want to try to get as much conservation on the ground through these grants. So it's a competitive grant application that we apply for. I'm talking towards ag and markets type grants that we would apply for farm practices. So the less overhead that we can show on a competitive grant, the better off we look to that, that, that agency of being able to compete for those grants.
Okay, and then do you, are you back to having contracts from private parties?
Specify private parties.
Businesses.
Currently, we don't. All of our contracts are with either a state agency, or, federal agency,
or consultants, or I mean, anybody who's that's not a not a government source.
Yeah, we don't. We don't have any funding sources that are private at this point.
And do other soil and water conservation districts?
I can't speak too far for other soil and water districts, but my guess is it's mostly funded by the state and federal funds.
Okay. I'm just grappling with the notion of whether we've done a lot for this agency over the last few years, and I'm happy to have done it, and I thought we had a plan, and I'm just grappling with the notion of target versus, you know, an increased amount over a, I don't, 2 or 3 year period and see where it goes.
Leslin.
Hi, John. Everything I read spoke of 5 employees, but you just described 4. Is the 5th employee the proposed hire?
Yes.
Thank you.
Anyone else? We have a motion in front of us at $30,000 to Target. All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed, if any? Opposed, if any? One. Who else? Are you opposed, Carol? Two. And the vote is?
9 to 2.
9 to 2 in favor of. Thank you. Mine is next. It's the DA's office, partial funding of an OTR covering mandated grand jury stenographer, and it's $5,500. And I will move that. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Joe? Can
yeah, this, I think yeah. Gwen may have explained this when she was here. There was a part of her OTR that she thought originally was purely discretionary. She's found that she needs to budget for this position. Kevin, I can't remember if it's to leverage other funds or it's just she needs this individual on staff to do the ordinary work of the DA's office. So it's really an expenditure that she believes she must incur. So she's asked for consideration here.
I have Brian and then Peter.
This is a pay me now or pay me later item, so shouldn't be a whole lot of discussion.
Peter Stein.
Well, you're right. It shouldn't have a lot of discussion. If it's mandated, you have to do it. But I would like an explanation to the following quandary. Suppose I were a department head here. You probably wouldn't hire me, but suppose you had, and I had a mandated expense. So I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to I'm going to take the money that was doing that mandated expense and spend it someplace else, and then come back to the legislature and say, hey, I have to have this thing because it's mandated. What is there that shows me that that's not some trick like this, other than my great respect for the DA?
It is a classic budget game. That can happen. When you recall, though, when Gwen went through her budget in front of you, this is a very lean budget. And we've been through it. You've been through it. It's almost like Jonathan Wood's budget, where it's mostly personnel. There's a little bit of supplies and equipment in there, and there are some professional fees that she has shown in the past. She will spend at least the amount that she put in her budget, and she's put us all on notice. She'll probably spend more and need to come back. So I would think, Peter, that when you look at her budget, you would agree she can't just find this $5,500 elsewhere in her budget. She needs this.
So it's just that what is it called? The stenographer, the amount of work the stenographer is doing is somehow increased or something like that this year or something like that.
I don't think there was enough money in her target to fully pay for this position. I think that's what happened. When she took her 1% cut, she had to reduce a number of things.
Okay, all right,
she took a nick in this one, and now she's saying, I need the money back.
Someone had their hand up here. Go ahead.
So she, in her budget originally, number 12, was for $20,481, and now this is for $5,500. So is this enough? So it's just the stenographer portion, and that $20,000 was going to be additional professional services, and this is just one portion of it.
Okay. Any other questions? All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed, if any? Let it know. We are down to Stein, Klein, Burbank, Shinagawa, Lezawara, and it is evaluate a new way to match clients to providers, $7,500 one time. Who's going to move it? Peter Stein. Is there a second? Oh, Dan Klein. Discussion.
This is for one of the agencies that I personally have a lot of respect for, namely Catholic Charities. They do a lot of wonderful work. And their idea was, they had a new idea of being of ways that they might somehow reorganize the way they match their clients to various providers, and they make it one time because they don't guarantee that it's going to work. So I think something like that is an honest way to do things, and I think we should support them.
Anyone else? Catholic Charter, $7,500 one time. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Or no, raise your hand, please. Opposed, if any. We have two opposition. It passes 9-2. Office of Human Rights, Los Herrera, Stein, Klein, Burbank, $3,750. Karen Baer has suffered through all of this, and for $3,750 one time. Someone want to move it? Leslie moves it. Thank you. And Peter seconds. Somebody speak about this.
Actually, I'm seconding it. Sorry. I was seconding it. I thought it was already moved by Peter.
Yeah, well, I think that Karen can explain it better than I can.
All right. I'm okay with that.
Karen, thank you.
It is very precarious to be at the end of the list while Kevin is ticking up that number of your increases. So basically, this is, and I discussed it during the budget process, is that the office is looking for ways to partner in a substantial way with state and federal agencies in order to attract those kinds of funds to Tompkins County. In my experience, the best way to do that is to take advantage of training opportunities that those agencies provide and to attend their annual conferences, not only for the purpose of networking, but providing really valuable training for my staff. As I said before, I only have something like $13,000 in discretionary funding, and I don't believe there were any training funds in the budget this past year. And so I would be, this amount actually represents the balance of my request. I requested $8,750, and that was based on a bean counting of the conferences that we targeted, the registration costs, travel expenses. I would have liked to ask for more, but I'm very shy about asking for money. But I think this is a good start toward what I consider to be our enforcement strategy in Tompkins County when it comes to human rights.
Peter Stein.
My reaction to this request is very positive. It comes out of my experience as a physics professor for many, many years and how important it was in my professional life to be able to go to conferences and hear what other people were doing in the same field around the world. It was always very rewarding, and I have done the same thing with regard to county government. I go every year to that place, not because the food is so good, but every so often you hear something important and bring it back. And I think it's a way of intellectually staying alive. And if we want the Human Rights Department to do good work, we have to supply them with that kind of a tool to understand what you can do and where you can get money. So
thank you,
I support
Peter.
This strongly.
Anyone else who wants to speak to this?
Well, I have a question. So did this come to us originally as a one-time or a target request? I'm just trying to find it in my records that I'm finding human services instead of human rights.
Yeah, it came as a one-time.
It came as one-time.
I told you I'm very shy. Well, you know, I think that, I mean, ideally, a target request to have a component of my budget to be used for training every year would be ideal. We do have a number of goals this year that that I discussed in the budget process. So I was mainly focusing on what we'd like to do this in 2015 and what kind of training we would need in order to do that.
Anyone else? Are we ready to vote on this? $3,750 one time for Office of Human Rights. All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed, if any? 11-0. Thank you for enduring, Karen. Last one for this evening. Shinigawa Stein, Luz Herrera, Tompkins Community Action, support a second early Head Start teacher in Dryden Target Funds, $25K. Someone want to move it? Mike? Moves. Is there a second? Peter Stein. Discussion. No one from TC Action here this evening. Brian.
Explain to me, if it's target, how come there's no change in duration?
It came as target, so it's always been target. I recommended half of what they requested, and it was all target funding.
They asked for 50.
Yeah, I remember they asked for 50.
Yeah,
but
yeah, and it was target.
Okay, so this 25 is a change.
Now, this takes the 25 that's recommended, and it turns it into 50, all target.
They're adding 25.
They'd add 25.
Right.
Yeah.
Peter Stein, please use your mic.
Yeah, I don't know. Every time you read in the paper, what you have to do if you're trying to attack the social problems of America are to start with the little babies, the two-year-olds. And I can't imagine a better thing to do with money than another Head Start program in Dryden. So,
Strangely enough, I'm not going to support this. I was a bit taken back the other evening when they made a presentation and we asked what their budget was, and it went from $6 million to $7 million, almost like one person. And I have some difficulty with that when an organization with a $7 million budget is unclear what their budget is. And that bothers me. And I've been here 8 years and felt the same way about a lot of the requests that have come out of there. So I'm not going to support this. Will?
Jim, I'm a little surprised that Lee is not here. Do we know, was she aware that this was on the agenda?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Anyone else? Carol.
Well, I wouldn't mind hearing some more discussion, but I just want to take issue with your point about the budget question. Now, Jim, what's the size of our budget? Are you answering that it's just the levy, that it's our total budget, that it includes the one-time or doesn't include the one-time? I mean, anybody who's got a multi-million dollar budget knows that that's not a simple, you know, with some money that comes every year and some money that only comes some years, it's a really tough question to answer. So I wouldn't mind some more discussion about whether to support this second classroom. They've got this physical space. Should we postpone this? Is that the will? Yes, okay, I will.
Excuse me?
I will move to postpone it.
Is there a second? Less than seconds. All in favor of postponing to the next meeting? Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed to postponing? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's 6 to 5, right? How many for postponing again? Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, 4. Against postponing, I believe it's 7-4. So it's not postponed. Let's vote on it at this point. It is target funding, 25K, 2C action. It's 0.06. All in favor? Carol?
So I will then speak to it. If we're not going to postpone it, I will say that I agree with Peter that it's one of the important places to spend money. You spend it young or you end up spending it on problems older. This agency showed great initiative raising the money without coming to us to have a classroom sitting there. And then they're going to bring in 3/4 of the money to run the thing, if they can come up with the local match. And it just seems to me to be silly to leave that money sitting on the table when the federal government is going to spend that on children instead of bombs. You know, so it just seems silly. So
I don't think that's the option here, but, anyone else who wants to speak on this? Mike Ziegler.
I just wanted to say, Carol's right. You can't do a hug with nuclear arms. So move this right along.
All in favor.
Go ahead, wise guy.
All in favor of this request, please raise your hand. All in favor of this request. 1, 2, 3. What? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? It should be 6 to 6, right?
Julie's gone.
Opposed.
Peter's going to vote.
So it's 6 to 6. It failed.
Good. You re-roll, please.
No,
I wasn't voting. I wanted to say something.
Back. All in favor of the request, please raise your hand and hold them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it passes. And that is the end of the show. We have two postponed items friends. It is number 7, which is the Mike Delane Contingent Fund, $20,000 for the Community Outreach Initiative. And the other postponement is Solid Waste, $100,000. And we have a resolution on your table. I believe we're good. So we're back here Thursday. That's all right. We're back here Thursday. We are. We're back here Thursday at 5:30. We walk out of here. What was your final number, Kevin?
I've got 2.5%.
2.50. We came in here at 2.34, and we've gone up 0.16 of a percent.
Jim?
Yes.
Are we going to vote on Thursday?
Yeah, I would hope so. Thank you all very much for coming. Good job, by the way. I appreciate it.